Fire at Night pushed through the crowd. In his right hand, he waved a hafted maul back and forth like a trophy. The heavy hammer consisted of a pectin-shaped stone head. Green rawhide had then been sewn over the hole and allowed to shrink tight to hold it all together. Two Smokes began to shiver, eyes horror locked on the maul Heavy Beaver took from Fire at Night. Heavy Beaver lifted the hammer high, offering it to the sky.
No! Don't do this thing!
Today, wise one above, we cleanse ourselves to be worthy of your truth. See this act of humility. See the people once again turn their faces toward you and your path of light. Watch, Father Son, as we drive this filth from among us.
Two Smoke swallowed hard, looking for an escape. People ringed him, eyes bright as they pressed forward. Little Dancer looked around, seeing only the hides and cold fire pit and the empty space where the wolf bundle had once rested. There to the side lay Two Smoke's grass collection in its hide.
I call on you, spirits above! I call on you to watch!
No!
Two Smoke scrambled backward as Heavy Beaver charged, the hammer lifted high. A snarl of vindicated rage twisted the shaman's broad face. Little Dancer reached with fear-charged fingers, closing them on the wood. He turned and rushed forward in one final desperate attempt.
Look out!
Heavy Beaver stopped, staring wide-eyed. He jumped back, feet tangling in his retreat. He started to fall just as Little Dancer drove Blood Bear's dart into his body. By instinct, Heavy Beaver twisted away. Instead of slicing through his belly, the point bunched the leather of his shirt, ripping through as he pulled away. The razor edge of stone slipped along under his clothing.
Get him! Get him! He's trying to kill me!
The shaft wrenched from the boy's grasp. Fire at Night jumped forward, plucking the boy from the ground. Collecting himself, Heavy Beaver winced as the sting of the wound began to throb. He got slowly to his feet, forcing his legs to stop trembling. His heart battered at his chest as he lifted his shirt to peer underneath. A long gash bled freely where the dart had skipped across his ribs before fouling in the thick hide of his shirt.
You're evil, boy. You just tried to kill one of the people. I can't save you now. The taint from Wicked Eddie to power goes too deep.
The cry warmed something deep inside Heavy Beaver.
Hold him. You, throw rocks. Get his other arm. Too much of the Bernash is in him. His soul is too foul to be saved. Today we cleanse the people, all of the people. And no one will doubt my power.
By the first man, you can't kill him. He's just a boy.
Straight wood. If the Anita filth speaks again, kill him. Don't worry, Bernash. Your soul won't be far behind Little Dancer's. I meant what I said. Today I cleanse the people, no matter how much blood I have to let.
Two Smokes clamped his eyes shut as Straight Wood took a position over him. Heavy Beaver retrieved the hammer and swung it to test the balance. People stared in horror, some covering their mouths, others covering their eyes. No one stepped forward to stop him. Little Dancer struggled as the two boys stretched his arms between them. Heavy Beaver raised the hammer high overhead, picking the spot on the boy's skull where he'd land the blow. Hungry Bull's heart quaked. Not for years had he experienced this feeling of dread. Anxiously, he stared ahead over White Calf's tottering figure where she led the way. Smoke rose from the cottonwoods in a blue haze, just as it would from a normal camp. Then a flight of ravens rose from a huddled shape on the terrace overlooking the camp. Hungry Bull's gut twisted. Someone had died. No wonder he felt like catastrophe hovering above him. Well, no matter. In a few moments, he'd be in Sage Root's arms, hearing the news. He could retreat to his lodge and let White Calf and Heavy Beaver worry about the spirit power and visions. White Calf's legs wobbled under her as they entered the trees. No wonder he felt nervous. If a spirit dreamer like White Calf keeled over and died on him, the wise one above alone knew what the consequences would be.
I don't like spirit power, and I swear I'll never get involved with it again after this.
He'd sworn that before, and trouble had come looking for him. What stories he'd have to tell Sage Root and Little Dancer. The anxiety in Hungry Bull's heart spasmed as they hurried forward, pressing White Calf. They burst into the camp clearing to see a knot of people clustered before Hungry Bull's lodge. Heavy Beaver stood in the center, blood streaming down his side. Fire at Night and Throws Rocks held a young boy by the arms, stretching him between them, feet off the ground in what had to be a painful position. Straight Wood stood over another figure, Two Smokes, angrily kicking the bear Dash in the crippled leg every time he tried to reach up for the boy as Heavy Beaver lifted a hammer high over his head.
Little Dancer, no!
Enough!
White Calf caught Hungry Bull with one taloned hand as he tried to charge past. Heavy Beaver saw Hungry Bull and froze, mallet held high. Hungry Bull struggled against the old woman's eagle-strong grip.
Let me handle this. You promised on your soul, Hunter. Don't break that promise now. Three Toes, Black Crow, see that he doesn't do anything stupid.
White Calf hurried forward.
Turn that boy loose! Now!
White Calf!
Heavy Beaver stood uncertainly, the heavy hammer still held ready.
White Calf? The witch?
Turn the boy loose!
At her words, Fire at Night gulped and let the boy down. Throws Rocks held on for a moment more before he let go. Little Dancer ran, jumping into Hungry Bull's arms.
Shh, it's okay, it's okay.
Two Smokes crawled from under Straight Wood's guard, dragging himself forward with his hands.
Who are you? What new form of pollution are you? Why are you here?
White Calf turned on her heel, staring from face to face as the people watched, waiting, shocked by it all.
So, this is what the people have fallen to?
Heavy Beaver advanced toward her, the hammer threatening.
Why are you here, witch?
If you were a dreamer, boy, you'd know. But you're not, are you? You haven't heard the child calling? You didn't hear his dreams? You didn't know what you had, did you? You're tormenting what you don't understand, is that it?
Get out! I declare you a pollution! Get your filth out of here!
Or what? You'll curse me?
I curse you now, witch! By the fourth day, your body will be—
Oh, shut up! You wouldn't know a curse if it lifted its head from the grass and bit you on the ass! Where's this boy's mother?
People had begun to back away. Now they left it a run, leaving a space open where a young woman lay sprawled on the ground before a dingy-looking lodge.
Oh, no!
Hungry Bull stared, hugging the weeping Little Dancer to his chest. He knew. All of a sudden, it came clear. The rest seemed to blur as he charged forward, lifting her into his arms, tears blurring the reality of her pale flesh, the red-stained earth under her gaping wrists. He lifted his face to the sun, blinking at the rush of pain.
Why? How? Who did this?
White Calf barely shifted as Hungry Bull rushed past.
I think he needs your help now.
Black Crow and Three Toes hurried after.
I curse you. By the sun above, I declare you unclean and evil.
You declare nothing. So, you killed Sage Root.
He drove her to it, just like he did Dancing Doe. He abused the wolf bundle, threw it in the dirt and chased it away. It's gone.
Oh, blessed wise one above. Do you know what you've done?
I've cleansed the people.
You ignorant, stupid fool! That wolf bundle, that sacred bundle, is the legacy of the first man!
Heavy Beaver stood uncertainly, mouth bobbing open and closed as a frown lined his head.
Get me away from here, White Calf. They're tainted, all of them. You brought me here. Take me away. I can't do anything for them anymore.
White Calf reached down, wary of Heavy Beaver and his hammer.
You stand?
Vile pollution. Take him. Get him out of here. All of you, get out.
White Calf got Two Smokes up. He leaned against her, and she could feel his trembling muscles.
You bet we're leaving. Considering what you've unleashed, I wouldn't stay within 5 days' walk of this camp.
You're the reason the people have come to this. You and your kind. You're the reason. You've offended the spirit world. You've caused the spirits above to turn their faces from the people. And you can stand here before decent human beings with your arm around a misbegotten foulness like Two Smokes?
You've made your way, Heavy Beaver. Let's see where it takes you.
Two Smokes stiffened, pointing.
No!
A glazed look filled Hungry Bull's eyes as he stood. A dart knocked in the hook of his atlatl. Heavy Beaver turned, caught sight of it, and backpedaled in horror.
Hungry Bull, don't! His time hasn't come. Curse you, Bull! You promised me on your soul! Don't do this, or you'll let loose power you can't conceive of!
Three Toes stepped nervously in front of his friend.
Hungry Bull, trust her? We promised. White Calf knows what she's doing.
You're cursed! Cursed, I say!
Makes Fun held a hand to her mouth as she stared in horror at her husband, Black Crow. Meadowlark had rushed to hang on Three Toes' arm, eyes glazed with fear. White Calf turned sad eyes on the spirit dreamer.
The only person you've cursed, fool, is yourself and those who follow you. You've degraded the Wolf Dreamer's bundle. Think on that for a while.
It is only an ancient myth. I know. I dream a new way.
He killed Dancing Doe and Sage Root.
White Calf stared into Hungry Bull's eyes.
Leave it be, Hunter. I see your anger. I feel your pain. But this is out of your hands. Heavy Beaver's made his claims. Power takes care of its own. It's not your place to meddle.
Hungry Bull hesitated. The will to kill, to strike back, eroded into grief. Choke Cherry came from one of the lodges. She pulled up, startled by White Calf's presence. As if all her stamina had finally fled, her shoulders stooped.
Thank the Wise One.
Black Crow, Three Toes, I'm not done with you. Take Sage Root up on the bluff so I can sing her soul to the star web tonight. There's nothing here for any of you anymore. Help Hungry Bull pack his things, and you can pack your own. I don't think you want to stay here. You're too tainted with power for Heavy Beaver and all his bluster.
She turned, Two Smokes hobbling as she moved.
Little Dancer, follow along. You and I, we've got a lot to talk about.
Wide-eyed, lost and afraid, he hesitated. Chokecherry rushed forward, taking his hand.
Come on, boy. She only comes once in a while. Good things happen then.
White Calf lifted an eyebrow. Her sister had changed her tune over the long years. But then Chokecherry didn't feel the tremors, the welling and flowing of power around her. A shiver ran up White Calf's back. Power moved on the land. Forces had been let loose that White Calf could only wonder at. In the back of her mind, an abyss yawned, and cold, misty vapors lifted from the depths. No good would come of this day. Tanager sat high on the rocks, looking out over the vast basin of the Moon River. To the north, the Mud River ran its snake-like course toward the Buffalo River that in turn met the Big River. Nevertheless, her eyes kept returning to the faint trace of the Moon River, no more than a shadow in the distance. The rocky spire she'd climbed had been a challenge. Only men with a need to prove their courage would try such an ascent. Something she couldn't define had driven her to climb to this perch, more suited to eagles and lightning strikes. Wind pulled at her hair, tangling it into a knot. Its strong push tried to topple her into the depths. That lent a thrill to the sensation that she could fall so easily. She stared out over the plains, studying each change in color until her eyes lost themselves in the distance. The short buffalo people lived there. None had come to raid this season, but still she felt uneasy. Her premonitions were more than the chance of falling, as if her soul trembled within. Tanager turned to climb down, catching movement on the outcrop across from her. The wolf stood, separated from her by a cleft in the rock, its front feet braced against the battering wind. For long moments, they stared at each other, Tanager meeting that knowing yellow gaze. Then, like a flicker of shadow, the dark hunter disappeared, only the sensation of promise left behind.
The sacred number of seasons has passed, and what has changed? I've helped bring the rains back, the buffalo calve with greater regularity. For my help, I see Heavy Beaver growing stronger and stronger. His authority is consolidated. He unites the people under his standard and his new way. Meanwhile, among the Red Hand, Blood Bear proves just as much a fool. I am bandied about as a symbol of his authority. At the same time, his scorn is apparent in his deeds, if not his words. Within his lodge, I'm mocked. My power is eroding. Is that your purpose? To kill me?
My purpose is the boy.
My inclination is to pay Blood Bear back for his ways.
Be patient. The boy grows.
And so does Heavy Beaver's way. He's changing the spirals. Too many people believe him. In the end, we cannot defeat an idea.
There is a way. Remember the tripod. Without another leg, we'll topple in the dirt.
The world behind the small band had vanished in a haze of gray. Gray everywhere, like the feelings in their hearts. There was nowhere people could go when the world had gone insane. Silence lay heavy on the land and on the timber in the canyons below. Chill moisture hung in the air, stinging their noses, clammy on exposed skin. Three Toes looked up at the winding trail, nervous at the way the clouds packed so thickly around the people he led. A few wind-gnarled fir trees clung to the reddish-brown rock, with knobby roots twisted into the Earth Mother's bones.
How high are we?
He and Black Crow had no way back, no trail to return to the people. Now and forever, they would be outcasts. In an irregular line, they climbed, disjointed figures in the mist. People without place or context, travelers in the clouds. Behind him, Makes Fun helped her son adjust his pack.
And what if I can't find White Calf's camp? What if we run into Anita up here? What if Hungry Bull's dead? Killed? Then what's left for us?
Three Toes continued along the irregular game trail tracing the ridgetop. The damp skein of clouds pressed down to make the world unreal. A blessing and curse. The gray dampness hid their passage from Anita eyes, but obscured the landmarks White Calf had told him about in such detail during their flight from Heavy Beaver those 4 years past. 4 years. The sacred number. The number of the first man, of the directions and the wise one above. So much had changed in 4 years. On the trail ahead of Three Toes, a shadow shifted in the mist and brought him back to the present. Instinctively, he tightened his grip on the handle of his atlatl, the dart shaft resting securely in his fingers. He squinted past the blotchy outlines of the conifers, dropping to a slight crouch. As the faint ghost of breeze played with the gray fog, the glimpse solidified into Black Crow's lanky shape.
See anything?
No, unless you're interested in what the inside of a cloud looks like.
About like this, huh?
About. I don't know how we'll find them up here. We could walk around for weeks.
Yeah, if we don't stumble into a camp of the Anita in the meantime.
There's that, all right. After that raid Heavy Beaver made on their camps last year, I don't think they'd smile at us and wave as we went by.
Three Toes nodded as Meadowlark, his wife, bent down to help his youngest daughter with some problem. Make's fun had sagged onto a rock. A haggard look lined her face as she stared anxiously up at her husband. Black Crow's oldest boy lifted his flap to urinate.
Nothing Heavy Beaver ever does leads to any good. Raiding the Anita will come back to haunt us in the end like geese through the seasons.
I kind of started to wonder if maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
What other choice did we have? No matter where we go, we're moving into someone's hunting grounds and people are mad and hungry. It's not a good time for intruders.
And the Anita hate us more than anyone.
All the people had gone crazy. Two Stones, Elk Whistle, Whitefoot, all had joined with Heavy Beaver, dancing his new dance of renewal. And when Seven Sons had decided to join with Heavy Beaver, Three Toes had stood, drawing all eyes toward him.
I cannot be a part of this. If you go to Heavy Beaver's camp, my wife and I will be cursed. I know Heavy Beaver. I grew up with him. I know his hate. I'll leave the people before I'll share a camp with Heavy Beaver.
He'd been outvoted.
Remember, you can always come to my camp. I will protect you, feed you. Follow Clear River west through the Red Rock Wall and take the Spirit Trail up the mountain. Stay to the south of the canyon and you will find a trail. You will know it by the rock piles. Follow that over the ridge top and you will find my camp in the valley bottom beyond. You'll be safe there.
Three Toes had bet his life and that of his family and friends on that elusive promise. A misty rain began to fall.
It's getting colder.
All the time we wanted rain, and we get it now.
The whole world's gone crazy. Maybe the end of the world is coming, like Heavy Beaver says.
I hope you're joking when you say that.
Fire filled the world, like thunder mated to wind. Yellow-red, raging, it burned up from below, beating at Little Dancer in loud fury. He blinked against the painful heat, trying to raise his arms in an effort to shield his face from the searing. The fire mocked him, walls of flame moving in retaliation, waving this way and that in a frightened dance. If he tried to breathe, the fire would dart in to char his lungs and consume his very soul.
We're one. All the world is one.
Pressure in his lungs burned as feverishly as the inferno outside.
Free yourself, boy. Dance with me. Become one with me. Forget your fear. Trust yourself.
Little Dancer jerked back as the flames twirled around him like some impossible whirlwind. He snapped awake, heart battering at his ribs. Two Smokes half started from his bedding, blinking owlishly.
Hey, you all right?
A dream. Just a dream.
Little Dancer blinked as he dug his fingers into the bedding. The touch of warm hide and the security of cool dirt below reassured him.
What dream?
Nothing. Just a dream. Nothing.
So, boy?
White Calf was picking at him again. He stood up, the beautifully worked mountain sheep hide falling to one side. He swallowed dryly, frightened by the sweat that soaked his clothing.
Just a dream.
A dream about fire?
No. Just a dream about my mother.
He didn't have anything else to stand against the old woman's constant questioning. The roomy rock shelter consisted of a large cavity in the cliffside that measured 15 paces across where the limestone had been water-hollowed in the distant past. The back wall curved around, lined with nooks and caches that held White Calf's medicines and power bundles. A spiral had been pecked and subsequently painted on the wall above where White Calf slept. Packs containing dried meat and berries hung from pegs driven into the stone. Overhead, soot had formed a thick velvet covering that rounded the angles of the rock. Unlike the hide lodges he'd lived in as a youth, the shelter stayed warmer, radiating heat absorbed during the day until late at night. In summer, it remained cool. The shelter would have been perfect had it not been for Whitecalf's constant and irritating presence. This place belonged to her, and she dominated it in every respect. He couldn't help but wonder if her soul hadn't leached into the very rock along with the soot of her fires. He turned to meet her burning eyes. If anything, she'd shrunk in the last couple of years. Now her hair glistened in the firelight, as white as the deep winter snow. She looked so frail, a sneeze might have broken her like a stem of winter grass bent too far. At least he could think so until he faced the shining challenge in her passionate eyes. The familiar tingle of premonition teased his uneasy gut.
You can't hide from yourself forever, boy. Deny your power all you want, but it's you, boy. You're the one. Why do you always deny me, boy?
I forbid it.
The horror of his mother's death lingered. Every time this argument reared, he could feel his mother's dark eyes staring down, a constant reminder of that hideous moment he'd felt her death, found her bloodless body.
Why, boy? No matter what your mother said, you can't change your nature. You're a dreamer. It's in your eyes. Look at me. Tell me you're not, and mean it when you say it.
He refused, biting back the seething anger her words always brought. He wanted to shout at her, revile her for the meddling old sage hen she was. That would teach her to leave him alone. Except he never would. With the very milk from his mother's breast, he'd sucked up the manners of the short buffalo folk. The young never acted disrespectfully to the elders who had come before. And that made the anger and frustration even worse.
Boy, you've got to listen to the voices in your head. You've got to...
I'm going to find my father.
Unable to look at her, familiar with the pained expression on Two Smoke's face, he ran for the door hanging and exploded out into the night.
One of these days you'll drive him too far. Choke Cherry warned you before she died.
She never understood my role.
But she knew this boy. I know this boy. Whitecalf, you can't keep pushing like this. You've alienated his father. Hungry Bull's lost himself, lost his way through life, and doesn't know what to do except stay away. He won't argue with you on account of the debt he owes you. He's afraid of power. But when you badger the boy, it tears at him. It's another strand pulling apart between us. If you keep this up, you'll...
Yes, yes, I know.
Do you?
I do. I just can't seem to reach little Dancer.
He'll find power himself. He can't ignore it forever.
Yes, old friend, I suppose. But I don't have much time. And there's so much he needs to learn.
Little Dancer trotted down the trail, keen eyes picking out the undulations and rocks in the darkness. The red flush of anger began to dissipate, leaving in its place a foreboding depression, thick and gloomy as the cloud cover over the night sky.
Why don't they leave me alone?
He swung a half-hearted fist at a fir branch, oddly relieved by the action. He continued slashing at the tall grasses that had gone brown and brittle with the first frost. Daylight had begun to dull the belly of the fall sky as father-son retreated to the southern trail across the heavens. And winter would bring more stifling days around the smoldering fire as Whitecalf retold the old stories. More of her constant harping, the endless questions and ceaseless picking comments about power. These days, Hungry Bull stayed out of sight, except during the coldest of weather, when he might suffer frostbite. Little Dancer's father had changed. His spirit had fled someplace the day he'd walked in shock from Heavy Beaver's camp. Then, not even a year after they'd come to Whitecalf's, Chokecherry had died in her robes. Without her to share the past, no one understood him anymore.
What happened to us?
From the day he'd dreamed the antelope, everything had changed. existence had turned inside out and lost itself in a tangle of hurt and confusion. Power had entered his life, and it wouldn't leave. The dreams continued to haunt him. Like this night's dancing fire, the dream spun around him with the power of Crafty Spider's star web, ensnaring him, holding him captive. Once he'd tried beating himself with a quartzite cobble, seeking to drive the visions from his head. Outside of swelling bruises and a wretched headache, he'd received a tongue-lashing from White Calf that ended in a fight that had ensnarled Two Smokes and his father for months, until White Calf finally relented.
Let him beat himself half to death. That's fine with me. I'll bet Heavy Beaver would love to hear about that.
He'd never tried to harm himself thereafter. At the thought, the knowing, satisfied smile of Heavy Beaver would form sickly sweet in his memory. With no pattern or hint, the dreams would come on him. Two Smokes hadn't been any help either. He didn't talk much anymore. He'd never forgiven himself for the insult to the wolf bundle. Berdashes lived between the worlds. Not only did they function as the mediators between men and women, understanding each, they had been fashioned by the ways of power so they could feel the spirit realm as well as the world. Two Smokes had felt the desecration of the wolf bundle to the bottom of his soul. The experience had left a hole, a lack of purpose in his life.
I'm just miserable, that's all. Mother, why did you give up? Where are you, Mother? Come back to me. Take me away.
Little Dancer kicked at a low sagebrush, satisfied with the tangy odor as he bruised the seed-heavy stalks rising above the aqua leaves. They'd made him a prisoner, keeping him like a child kept a baby bird in a stick cage. White Calf, the power and dreams, the curses of Heavy Beaver, everything worked against him. Viciously, he kicked at the sage, happy to hurt back for once. So much for Heavy Beaver. So much for the dreams and White Calf and everything else that left him miserable and harried. The anger rose again, relentless, burning. With a stick, he laid into the sagebrush, thrashing it as hot tears rolled down his cheek. He attacked a small fir tree with his flail, imagining it to be White Calf and Heavy Beaver rolled into one. The stick cracked under the violence of his tantrum. He bent to pluck rocks, pelting the tree, watching the branches whip under the impact. Wild rage keened and sang in his veins. Finally exhausted, he sagged, chest heaving, completely spent. A welling pain began to throb in his torn fingers where he'd shredded the skin, trying to lever rocks from the resistant dirt. Little Dancer blinked owlishly at the tree before him. His vented wrath didn't seem to have made an impact. The shadowy fur stood resolute. In defeat, he lowered his head, rubbing the back of his neck, aware of the quiet pressing down like a smothering robe.
Why won't they just leave me alone?
A shadow detached itself from the blackness. The big black wolf might have been a dream image, so silently did it slip into the trees.
How long did the animal stalk me? How long did it watch?
On rubbery legs, he stood and retraced his way to the game trail. Exhausted and drained, he set his steps toward the meadow where he knew his father had started a buffalo trap. Elk Charm huddled inside the wrap of her soft elk-hide robe, bending low to peer under the flap of the menstrual lodge toward the camp. The Red Hand always put the menstrual lodge uphill and downwind. First Man had told them to do it that way. She wrinkled her young nose. For the life of her, she couldn't imagine why.
Do the old men really think they can smell a woman's bleeding?
She tensed as Blood Bear walked past the edge of camp, his black silhouette framed by the fires. The keeper of the wolf bundle paused for a moment, staring as if his eyes could make her out in the night-shadowed lodge. For a long moment, she held her breath. Then he ducked into his lodge.
Did Tanager forget? Did she skip out on some crazy adventure in the timber again? Will Mother never come?
The menstrual lodge confined her like a mountain sheep in a catch pen. If only Blood Bear didn't stalk the night waiting, If only she didn't understand why he lurked in the darkness.
Will it always be this way?
After all, this was her first time. That it had happened so soon had been a rude surprise for her. At first, she couldn't understand what had gone wrong. When the cramps hit, she just knew it must have been the pine nut patties she'd stolen from old Greenhorn's grinding stone, that the old woman had cast some sort of enchantment to give young girl thieves a bellyache. But Elk Charm should have known. The budding of her breasts should have been a clue. The broadening of her hips, which had become so pronounced in her shadow, hadn't prepared her. Not even the downy dark tracery of pubic hair had warned her. When the blood first appeared, she'd almost panicked.
It's your time! My daughter's become a woman!
In utter spiritual chaos, Elk Charm had simply stared, mouth open, unable to speak. In all her life, only the tragic death of her father had left her so off balance and devastated. Ushered to the menstrual lodge in great ceremony, she'd spent 4 days under the shelter, alternately confused, ecstatic, bored, excited, or miserable. Then her mother and grandmother and most of the other women had come, plucked her eyebrows, and stripped her bare. Her mother had dipped both hands in wet ochre and clapped them to her breasts, symbolically dedicating her future milk to the red hand. They had painted her face white with a blue circle on her right cheek to indicate the sky, and a brown circle on her left to indicate the earth. Down from her breastbone, they had painted the yellow path of light to cross her navel and end on the rise of her pubis. Greenhorn had used charcoal to draw arrows pointing up the insides of her thighs.
To lead these stupid young men to the right place, you see.
Flushed with embarrassment, Elk Charm had swallowed hard, certain the old hag knew just who had stolen her pine nut patties. Orange was painted in a big circle on the flat of her abdomen, a symbol of the morning sun and the new life it brought to the day, just as her loins would bring new life to the red hand. Somehow, it hadn't seemed real until afterward. The old women had left, accompanied by her mother. They'd gone, singing and rattling their deer hoof noisemakers. A new woman had come to the red hand. Elk Charm had straightened to watch them go, feeling the difference in her life. The men had been waiting, laughing, singing, and clapping their hands as they danced along with the procession. A man would want her. That thought had possessed her, going through her thoughts like a cool breeze on a hot day. She'd been so preoccupied she'd barely noticed at first. One man didn't join the dancing. The keeper of the wolf bundle simply looked on, stern face expressionless. Across the distance, she'd felt the anticipation in his eyes. Head up, alert, the consummate hunter had found prey. He'd looked in her direction, smiling to himself, a gleam in his eyes. The realization had hit her like a thrown rock. Her soul tightened and twisted in on itself.
Bloodbear wants to have me first!
Desperate, she'd sent Tanager for her mother, unwilling to elaborate on the reason why. Even as she'd struggled to explain, Will-o'-the-Wisp Tanager had slipped away into the night. That afternoon, as singing and chants rose from the camp, she'd huddled under her robe. They'd expect her to leave the lodge tomorrow morning. Bloodbear would lie in wait. There was no way she could refuse him if he caught her outside the camp. No one denied the keeper of the wolf bundle. Bloodbear had returned the stolen heart and spirit of the Red Hand. He could take what he wanted. She bent down to peer under the cover again, seeing a dark shadow detach itself from the camp to walk up the flat-trodden path. The familiar stride warmed some of the desperate chill within. Tanager had managed to slip into her stepfather's lodge and catch her mother's ear.
Hello, daughter. What's this I hear? You wanted to see me?
I need to talk.
Her mother ducked through the flap. She sat down and rolled onto her side on the padded hide floor of the lodge. Relaxed, she kicked her legs out, leaning on one arm to stare across in the darkness.
Worried about being a woman? Tanager wasn't any too specific.
Elk Charm swallowed hard, nodding in the blackness. The old familiarity they shared, that close link between a mother and daughter who'd suffered together, communicated more than words.
Well, don't. There's not much you can do about it. I guess I made it, huh? You don't need to be afraid of the future. Life just comes and you live it day by day. Right now, you're scared of what it'll be like. When you've cleaned your first grandson's runny butt, you'll wonder where it all went.
It's not that.
Oh?
It's, well, Blood Bear.
I see. He's been watching the lodge?
Ever since everyone left. He knows I'm ready. Only, Mother, not him. I mean...
Her mother moved closer in the darkness. A warm arm settled around Elk Charm's shoulders.
I think I understand. Is it all men or just him?
Just him. I hoped it would be Snap's horn. He said some things, well, maybe even promised. I don't think he was teasing. I've seen him watching me. I wish it could be him. I really do. But other men, well, I can say no to them.
That's right.
But Bloodbear keeps the wolf bundle. No one says no to him. I can't... I won't let him touch me. I don't want what he does. He hurts women. I heard about what he did to Soft Spring Shower her first time. He made her bleed. That's not right. I don't want to hurt.
Shh. I know. If it were me, I wouldn't want to either. I got lucky. When I left the lodge, I had wonderful men to choose from.
But I...
Hush, girl. I'm thinking...
Long moments passed. Elk Charm kept looking under the flap toward the camp. The evening fires had been lit in the lodges. The cone-shaped tops of the hide shelters glowed yellow-brown, lit by the firelight within. She knew the scenes from experience. Inside, people sat, laughing, telling stories about Elk Charm's childhood, wondering who she'd marry in the end.
White Calf.
What?
That's the answer. I'm sending you to White Calf's. In the meantime, maybe Blood Bear will forget you. Or maybe you'll find a man somewhere, eh?
But why would I go to White Calf's? I don't...
Where else would you be safe? Hmm? Fast runners? Blood Bear would just go there. And besides, your family is all here, so you wouldn't have an excuse. We've got to get you someplace that you'd be expected to go. White Calf's is perfect.
Why would I be expected to go there?
Because I'll be busy. I'll...
But there are all those short buffalo people there. That hunter, he might...
Quit panicking. Not even a short buffalo hunter would bother you in White Calf's camp. You know better than that. Besides, the Berdash Two Smokes will be there to guard you. Even now, after so long, people don't forget Cut Feather's murder. To Blood Bear, the Berdash is a reminder of those days of disgrace. If there's one place Blood Bear won't go, it's White Calf's.
But why would I go there? I mean, won't Blood Bear know that it's him I'm hiding from? Won't he make it worse when I come back?
Didn't I teach you years ago to trust me?
Well, yes.
Good. Because you're going for medicine for your mother-in-law. Wet Rain is sick.
She's sick? But I saw her just...
You know, I might have taught you to trust me, but you didn't get my brains, girl. Fortunately, Wet Rain's got plenty of her own. She'll act plenty sick for a couple of days. And your stepfather hates Blood Bear about as much as anyone does. Old Cutfeather was One Cast's best friend, you know. He thought of him like a father. He'll play his part. I wouldn't have married him after your father died if he hadn't had sense and cared for you, too. So here's what we'll do. I'll sneak back with a pack, and you leave tonight. You know the trail to White Calf's. Go fast, girl. You can be halfway there by morning. If anyone asks, I'll tell them you've gone to get medicine for Wet Rain's stomach ache. I'll send word when it's safe to come back.
And Blood Bear?
He'll believe it.
The stars hadn't passed a hand's breadth across the sky when a dark figure slipped from the menstrual lodge. Within moments, rattling hooves ducked out behind her daughter. Thoughtfully, she stared down the night-shadowed trail. Elk Charm would be starting to realize what she'd undertaken. Traveling alone through the middle of the night on an unfamiliar trail would daunt all but the most courageous of hunters. Elk Charm would brave the dark and the possibility of ghosts, and perhaps even a fall-hungry grizzly. Anything would be better than Blood Bear. rattling hooves walked wearily down toward the lodge. With wet rain playing sick, she'd have twice the chores to do. The lot of a second wife could be considerably worse than she got from One Cast and Wet Rain. One Cast and Wet Rain had never made her feel less than welcome, but she would never share the intimacy they did. Some people just fit together like that.
Oh.
She'd loved like that once. If only he hadn't gone traveling in the winter. The snow always became treacherous in spring. They hadn't found his body until almost midsummer, and the hole left by his death could never be filled. She sent one last nervous look down the trail, heart worried about her daughter. What a terrible way to come into womanhood.
Sometimes I wonder about your faith in the boy. He's wild, resentful.
Wolf Dreamer turned within the translucent golden hues of the spiral.
That's the strength of his father.
I live with his father. Too much of his insolence has gone into the boy.
Wolfbundle, you yourself are created of disparate pieces. Each has its part in power. Together, we manipulated the circles to get the boy. Did you complain then?
My power wasn't leaking away then. I didn't experience the sensation of my own slow death. We've taken a terrible risk. I've seen the boy through the Watcher's eyes. You know we can't affect his will. He will be what he will be. And I see trouble.
We never had any guarantees. The future is a murky place.
He fights the dreams. He'll fight us just as vigorously.
Behind the boy, a nameless terror stalked the ridge, the fetid odor of its breath, that of a carrion feeding bear, warm on the back of his neck. He tried to look, tried to glance over his shoulder to see the horror, but his balance fled at every attempt, leaving him flailing his arms to keep his precarious footing. His only escape consisted of a dangerous path along a knife-edged ridge of sharp gray granite. Sheer walls fell off to either side, endless, dropping into a dizzying depth. Around him, the clouds scudded past, partially blotting the deep blue of the sky. Wind batted at him as he tried to keep his footing on the hazardous slope. He jumped frantically from one rock to another, terror powering his leaps over infinity. There ahead of him, his mother clung to the rock, blocking the way. She looked back at him with a sickening anguish in her face. Wind whipped her long black hair, partially obscuring her features as she blinked against the gale. Her fingers wove into the very rock, locking her in place.
Hurry! It's too close! You got to keep going, son! Go! Climb over me!
As he teetered, unwilling, her face grew ashen, her skin hard, turning to stone as he watched in horror.
No!
The whistling wind sought to knock him off. He could feel the thing behind him extend its neck and open its corrupt mouth to snap at him.
Mother!
Desperate, he jumped, the rounded mass of her back taking his weight. He could feel the presence of the nightmare thing behind him, looming up, reaching even as he scrambled to find footing on the rock that had once been his mother. As he changed his balance, the rock shifted. The rock with his mother's face cascaded into the depths. The unseen horror reached for him as he crabbed along the thin, friable rock. He jumped for a huge flat space that turned into chokecherry's back as he landed. The old woman looked up at him, a crafty smile forming on her lips. But then she shifted, as if trying to pitch him off into the abyss. Little Dancer braced his feet, grabbing for the ridge beyond. He caught a glimpse of Chokecherry's body solidifying into gray granite and plunging into the depths under his weight. His grip held. He got his feet under him, pulling his body back onto the trail and grimacing as the rock cut into his flesh. Little Dancer hurried forward, searching for footing on the treacherous edge, feeling the claws of death again at his back. Two Smokes looked up at him from underfoot, the Berdash's face forming below him in the uneven granite. Even as he stared down in horror, his friend's eyes dimmed to stone, the rock shifting and crumbling beneath him. What had been Two Smokes rolled loose to plunge into the eternity below. Little Dancer threw himself ahead again, shivering with each gust of wind. Looking down, he saw that his father now stared up at him, inevitably turning into stone. Little Dancer forced himself to scramble across the shifting rock, knowing even as it took his weight that this too would betray him. The monstrous thing behind him leaned closer, the bulk of it obscuring the sun.
I could save you!
Little Dancer's heart pounded with fear as the rock that had been his father cracked loose and slid sickeningly sideways.
Too late!
Little Dancer froze, fingers gripping tightly to the rock that had been his father. The horizon tilted, gravel pelting him as together they fell into the abyss. Little Dancer's stomach rose into his throat. Nausea tickled the back of his tongue and left him dizzy. Wind tore at his clothes and burned the tears into his blurred eyes as the faraway rocks rushed up at them. Little Dancer's eyes jerked open the second before he knew he hit bottom. He stared around the dawn-gray meadow and shivered with the morning chill, seeing the faint, hoary trace of frost on the leaves. Here, at the edge of the timber, the plants still stood lush and green. Above, the sky remained shrouded in gray. He sat up in a cascade of needles from where he'd burrowed into the duff beneath an old forest giant. A gnawing emptiness grew in his belly. He crawled out and looked around, snaking fingers through his long hair to comb the brown needles free. Images from the dream haunted him. Dully, he braided his hair and started across the meadow. The night chill cramped his muscles and left him unsure on his feet. Crossing a timbered patch, he encountered a rocky upthrust ridge and looked over the edge. Below him, the meadow narrowed, restricted by steep sandstone walls. A fence had been constructed of timber, carefully placed for strength and height, to run diagonally across the browning grass. Hungry Bull's driveline. Little Dancer eased across the rocks, glancing quickly over his shoulder before starting down the slope. Even as he reached the level bottoms, a thin tendril of smoke rose from the trees. He smiled and forced his wobbly legs forward in a trot. Hungry Bull crouched before a small fire, the freshly killed carcass of a snowshoe hare wide splayed and roasting on the hot rocks. With the canny eyes of the hunter, Hungry Bull had already seen him and raised a hand in greeting.
Had to get away?
Little Dancer nodded, coming to sit next to his father, sharing the moment of camaraderie.
Got lost last night. Didn't know I was this close.
For long moments, they sat in silence.
How's the trap coming?
Almost done. You can help me finish today. With the first snow, there should be buffalo starting to move down from the high meadows. Don't want to follow this trail. We'll do fine if we make a kill and it freezes good and solid. The meat will keep all winter.
They ate in silence, Little Dancer's mouth watering as he tore into the hot flesh of the rabbit. When bones had been cracked and sucked empty of marrow, they were thrown into the fire to char into memory. They walked over to stare at the trap.
You think this will hold buffalo?
Part of a hunter's success is to know more of the animals than they know of themselves. You see how I place the roots and branches? See how the sharp points are sticking out? There's a reason for that. A good hunter knows that the buffalo will bear away from the snags. He knows that they'll want to mill out there in the center, where they can see all around. The lead cow will take a minute to decide what to do when the way is blocked. That's why I place the fence so. I'll want that moment of indecision to drive a dart into the lead cow.
And you'll be up on that ledge?
You've got more hunter in you than I thought. That's just where I'll be. We'll need to start the drive and drift them down here. We don't want to panic them, just urge them down slowly. Then, when they wander into the trap, I've got to run up there to the point. Meanwhile, you're over behind that stump there. They shy away from my darts. They drift right into yours.
Until one panics and breaks down the fence.
But by then, if we haven't panicked ourselves, we'll have killed or seriously wounded enough to keep us through the winter.
But you don't make a trap like this in the spring.
Wouldn't work. Buffalo act differently in the spring. Cows have new calves. They're more wary, nervous, because their calves are vulnerable. You have to know how they change and think differently with the seasons, or you're going to starve. Or eat plants all your life like the Anita.
Little Dancer lifted an eyebrow. They'd eaten a lot of plants recently, at Two Smokes urging. He'd developed a liking for sago lily and biscuit root. In the fall, choke cherries and plums made a wonderful treat. Serviceberry had become one of his favorite meals.
Buffalo are the most important thing in the world to you, aren't they?
Part of my soul is buffalo. It hurts to think that buffalo is so scarce. I remember the stories from when I was a boy. I remember my grandfather talking about the old days when a couple hundred would be killed at a time. Then the people were so numerous, we could run a big kill. The circles were complete then. Buffalo and the people were one. Our souls mixed with the buffalo as theirs mixed with ours.
And here?
Here, I'll manage to trap maybe 10 or 15 buffalo. More than enough to feed us, but not so many as my skill will permit if there were more buffalo up here. Maybe that's the way it should be. A wise hunter takes only what he needs, and a bit more for surplus in case something spoils too soon, or wolf or coyote or grizzly get into it.
Little Dancer looked at the fence his father had built.
Does the past always outshine the future? Does life always have to get worse instead of better?
Many times he'd overheard White Calf saying the world was changing, getting worse. The images from the dream ate at his peace. The people in his life had turned to unstable stone under his feet, seeking to drop him into the abyss. He caught himself staring uneasily at his father's broad back as they looked at the fence. Using a sharp chert flake he'd struck from a well-used core, Blood Bear absently shaved at a thumb-thick willow stalk. This piece would make a wonderful dart shaft. He walked as he whittled on the shaft, absently glancing up at the menstrual lodge. Elk Charm should have already made her way to One Cast's lodge. He'd been up since before dawn, waiting at the edge of camp. She should have come, and if he'd missed her, she should have had to excuse herself to the bushes by now.
So where did she go?
She'd always intrigued him. Despite her young age, the way she walked, so straight and poised, had caught his eye more than once over the last year or so. She always had her chin just so, as if she were shyly aware of her beauty and charm. Most of all, he enjoyed those dancing eyes of hers. Blood Bear, for all of his advancing age, would see those eyes shine for him. He frowned slightly, sighting down the shaft of his new dart, and right into the menstrual lodge. Despite the morning shadows, he could tell no one sat within. Perplexed, he wandered slowly up the path, eyes on the ground as he shaved a knot flush to the shaft. The long years of hunting and tracking stood him in good stead. Here, rattling hooves had walked up the path and returned. As he neared the entrance, he found a fainter imprint half scuffed in the dry grass.
Elk Charm. It has to be.
Frowning slightly, he continued his perambulations, slowly circling the camp, checking for tracks. Usually, a newly made woman finished her bleeding and came to camp, surrounded in the glow of her bashful pride. Saucy Elk Charm should have done exactly that. Another track. He walked along, mind racing, while he studiously worked on his dart shaft. Elk Charm had taken the trail south, no doubt of that. He paused, staring down the trail, knowing the way it ran along the upper reaches of Clear River before it turned east to drop into the canyon and finally tumble out through the red wall and into the plains beyond, where it ran into Mud River in the land of the Short Buffalo people.
What's down there? Why would she? Why would a freshly made woman miss all the celebrating in her honor?
Blood Bear backtracked to his lodge. He checked, as he always did, to see the wolf bundle on the tripod at the rear of the lodge. Silly thing. For all the time he'd been forced to listen to Cutfeather talk about the bundle's power, he'd never experienced it. During the last 4 years since he'd walked into the main Red Hand camp, the wolf bundle held high over his head in triumph. He'd never felt the slightest tingle of power.
Cutfeather was a fool. My people are as great a bunch of fools for believing such nonsense.
He reached over, thumping the wolf bundle with a thick forefinger.
Take that, wolf bundle. I found you and brought you back. Me, Bloodbear, and without any power. And what good did you do the Berdash, huh? For all the time he had you. He's a cripple now, living on the charity of White Calf, an outcast short buffalo hunter, and my goodwill. Fool!
Bloodbear opened one of the packs laid against the rear wall and found what he'd been searching for, bringing forth a small pouch. He undid the knot at the top and poured out the contents. 6 beautiful elk ivories extracted from the upper jaws of young bulls. He poured them back into the pouch and ducked out of his lodge, strolling lazily across the camp.
Is anyone home in the lodge of One Cast? Bloodbear comes on this special morning with a gift for a new woman.
Just a minute!
Too bad about rattling hooves. If only he'd been around when her first husband stepped out on that unstable snow and triggered the avalanche that killed him. She would have been worthy of him. Not even a fool could wonder where her daughter came by her beauty and charm. Rattling hooves ducked through the flap. He caught the sleepless look in her eyes, noting the tight lines around her mouth.
I would offer a gift to the daughter of One Cast. I hear she is a new woman among us.
Oh, she'd be honored, but she's not here. It's wet rain. Well, maybe she ate too much yesterday. In the middle of the night, she woke up complaining about her stomach. A fever and chills followed. I don't know, in the dark of night, maybe I panicked. Anyhow, I sent Elk Charm off to White Calf's for something to help her stomach.
Bloodbear crossed his arms, considering. Elk Charm would be on the trail to White Calf's. She'd be alone, anxious to try her womanhood out on the first man to come along.
I have the wolf bundle. I have planned to go hunting today. Perhaps if I left the wolf bundle here, it might help. You must care for it while I'm gone, however.
A gleam grew in Rattling Hoof's eyes, her lips parting slightly. Bloodbear managed to keep his features under control. Idiot woman. She, too, insisted on believing the old bag contained power. Who knew? Maybe that would work to his advantage in the future. If Elk Charm delighted him as much as he hoped she would, maybe that lure of power would lead Rattling Hooves to favor a marriage.
We'd appreciate that. We'll take very good care of it and honor it the whole time it's within our lodge.
Good! I'll fetch it.
He turned on his heel, walking rapidly for his lodge. Snap's horn waited quietly in the trees. Like the hunter he was becoming, his outline could barely be distinguished. Tanager moved carefully, testing her skill against his. Each foot she placed just so, settling her weight around the dry twigs, balancing to keep from crackling the brown needles underfoot. Snap's horn shifted, moving slowly to crane his neck and look down the trail. He started and froze. Tanager hardly breathed. Who did her friend hide from? She caught a flicker of movement and remained motionless as Bloodbear trotted past. From Snap's horn's tensed posture, she read his dislike. Tanager resumed her stalking, moving to within easy reach before she shot hard fingers into Snap's horn's ribs.
Got ya!
Ah!
And she raced away, waiting to see if he'd chase. He exploded from the thrashing fir branches and slid to a stop.
Don't ever do that again!
So who are you going to ambush?
None of your business, girl.
Ah, Elk Charm! Well, you and Bloodbear are in the same fix. She's not here. She went down to the witches.
But there's short buffalo people there.
Uh-huh. But there's no Bloodbear and no you.
Arr!
He leapt for her. She danced away, ducking effortlessly under his grasping arms. dashing away like the wind, her heart exalted. She had her chase.